I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern day Asian American woman. My name is Helen.
I'm Janet.
And I'm Mel. The time has come. The moment I've been waiting for oh so long. We're finally going to talk about Crush Ending on You. Yes, all three of us have watched the drama. It was homework for Janet, lol, and we have a lot of feelings to share about it. From the scenes that made our hearts flutter, hello Captain Ri, to the parts that made our jaws drop, we're going to chat through all of that today.
So if any of you have not watched it, we give you permission to stop this podcast, and we encourage you to either one, listen to an old episode, or two, watch Crash Landing on You right now and tune into this episode right after. There will be spoilers. Besides diving into the drama, we thought it would be interesting to touch on why it plays such a huge role in the Hallyu wave, which is the global rise and popularity of South Korean culture.
So what is the Hallyu wave? The first time Mel brought this up to me, I thought it was like the Hallyu wave, like Joey from Friends, when he's like, the how you doing wave. But Hallyu comes from the Chinese term. I think it's Mandarin. Hanlu. How would you ladies say it?
Is it Hanlio? Hanlio?
You're asking the wrong people.
I don't know. Yeah. Okay. All right. Something like that. But it literally translates to the Korean flow or Korean wave and refers to the rise in global popularity of South Korean culture, starting with the spread of Korean dramas, then K-pop, language, and food. So a little bit of history on how this came to be. In 1986, the censorship laws were repealed in South Korea, which allowed for greater artistic freedom. And in the early 1990s, the South Korean government noticed that total revenue generated by Hollywood's Jurassic Park surpassed the sales of 1.5 million Hyundai automobiles, which influenced the government to shift its focus towards soft power, focusing on culture as an exportable industry. The South Korean Ministry of Culture then started developing its media sector, with more money going into films and entertainment by 1995. Then, in the early 2000s, neighboring Asian countries started opening its doors to outside entertainment. The 2001 Taiwanese drama Meteor Garden was a huge hit all over Asia's continent, and South Korea films like My Sassy Girl, Winter Sonata, and Full House also started to change the TV consumption in Asian countries. Since 2002, series from both South Korea and Taiwan have begun to fill these primetime slots previously reserved for Hollywood movies.
Wow, that was quite a history lesson. I didn't know a lot of those things. That was awesome.
Thank you, Google.
Yeah. And it's interesting to see how culture was used as a soft power in South Korea, but as a consumer of these dramas, you really see and feel the impact on a global scale. So for those of us in LA, we hear about KCON, which is the like largest worldwide gathering of people to celebrate Korean pop culture. You see people of all different ethnic backgrounds coming to appreciate it. And now with online streaming platforms, the global reach of Korean pop culture is even larger. We have access to K-pop music on YouTube, and Netflix is even producing and releasing a lot of these Korean dramas.
All right, so what is Crash Landing on You? It's a Korean drama on Netflix about this South Korean woman who lands in North Korea due to a paragliding accident. The drama follows her and this North Korean soldier as she tries to get back home. But this drama also has elements of family, corruption within the North Korean military, friendship, and love. It sounds dramatic, but there are also comedic moments too. So why is there so much hype around this drama? Well, number one, it came out towards the end of 2019, but once lockdown happened, a lot of people started watching Crash Landing on You and just fell into this Korean drama binge. I'm definitely guilty of that. Number two, Crash Landing on You also has the highest ratings in history on the cable network it was released on, which is TVN, back in South Korea, topping Goblin, which is another very popular Korean drama.
So how did we even begin watching this show?
I started watching it because I heard a lot about it from my sister Annie and actually Ray, her husband. They were so obsessed with it, and I obviously heard it from Mel too. But I think it was just one of those shows where everyone was saying, you have to watch this. And I remember asking myself, like, do I want to spend all this time watching a whole new series? Because it's a time commitment. Yeah. I think, Janet, when you started watching the series for this episode, this podcast episode, we kind of, like, calculated it out. And it was, like, an hour and a half per episode, and there's 16 episodes. So that's about 24 hours.
Yeah.
Okay, 24 hours of watching this one series. But I think, like you were saying, Mel, because of the staying at home and quarantine and all of that, I was like, okay, yeah, maybe we do have time to just, like, start watching this. And once I started, it was very difficult to stop. So definitely worth it. But it is a huge time commitment.
It is. But I think once you started, like, you know, falling in love with Crash Landing, it brought me so much joy. Knowing that you were committed, I was like, yes, you feel me.
Wait, Mel, how did you start? Because, yeah, you and my sister started watching it, I think, around the same time.
Oh,
but I hadn't heard of it before.
So funny thing, I actually saw the preview, a trailer of Crash Landing on Netflix, and I chose not to watch it because I thought it was actually going to be really dramatic and historical, and I'm like, oh, I'm not digging this vibe. But then I saw a lot of postings on it on Subtle Asian Traits, and I was like, oh, everyone's talking about this drama. And I was like, do I want to watch this? And then when we were doing our Instagram lives during lockdown, I did a Korean drama one, and everyone started recommending Crash Landing. Like, you have to watch Crash Landing, because I was all up on Itaewon Class. So I was like, okay, fine. If everyone's telling me this drama is really good and I see it on Subtle Asian Traits, and our friend Mimi, who's a big Korean drama lover, she's like, you need to watch this. I started watching it and I literally finished it in a week because I was obsessed with it. So got a lot of outside factors contributing to me watching it. How about you, Janet? I already know it's going to be Helen and Janet. I made you watch it.
How did you even start watching the show? Mel.
Forced her. We sat her down and were like, stare at this for 24 hours.
It actually was like, we did calculate when we were planning our agenda and our schedules for the week. Like, I had to put in time that I was going to be dedicating to watching this drama. But yeah, I mean, before we decided on Crash Landing specifically, we were talking about just like K-dramas in general. And so at the time, I think both Helen and Mel were starting Itaewon Class. So I did start that as well. And I think I got through like one or two episodes, and then I kind of ended up pausing. By then, I think you guys had moved on to Crash Landing. So you were like, okay, Janet, switch to this one instead. So I shifted focuses. And there were actually two things about Crash Landing specifically that I think, because like Mel was trying to convince me, because I was kind of like, and I'm hearing Helen saying it's like a 24-hour ordeal, you know. But the two things that I did find really interesting was that Mel, you sold it that the storyline involves like three very beautiful and dynamically different settings. So you would be able to see kind of the more natural farm living in North Korea, the breathtaking snow, mountain, and lake views in Switzerland, and then also the more city setting in South Korea. So I was like, okay, I do love watching shows for like being able to kind of imagine yourself in different settings. So I'm like, okay, that sounds really cool. I think that might be enjoyable. And then you also said the lead characters are a little bit older, so that they're both kind of more later in their 30s, and you described their dynamic that it sounded interesting to me, where the female character is this kind of really high-powered businesswoman, but also very soft, and, you know, the guy is kind of this very prince charming and, like, swoon-worthy person. So I was like, okay, I think those two kind of sold me to at least, like, get into it and commit the time.
So obviously this is a very long series, but I want to know, like, what part of the series got you hooked on the drama once you started watching it? Why don't we start with you first, Mel?
I'm gonna say this so many times today. There's so many to choose from. But if I had to think about the first moment, I was like, you know what? I'm actually really enjoying this drama. Was probably the scene where, like, the really cute romantic scenes that are also funny at the same time. Like, for example, when she's in his village and everyone's like, "Who's this lady?" And he was like, "My fiance." And there's a scene where I think she wanted to prove herself to the village ladies. They probably thought she wasn't, like, worthy. And she was, like, "Pat my head." And he was like, "What?" Like, he was just kind of, like, oblivious. Like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "Pat my head, or else I'm going to stay here and marry you because I think your face is my type." So it's just these little cute moments are really, like, I really appreciated the humor. You know, I thought it was really fun. And it just, like,
totally,
really
I can totally see you saying that to someone else.
Threaten someone? Like, yeah. But for sure, I think right off the bat, I would say it's just, like, the blendedness of, like, the romantic funny scenes. Plus, they did such a good job acting those scenes out. And the two other things that really got me was the chemistry of the leads. They're so great. And I also really, really love the friendship of the military men.
Yeah. I love them. Yeah.
So those three things. How about you?
Actually, for me, similarly, I think I mean, you called it something like the chemistry between the two the actor and the actress were really strong. But I also thought it was interesting that they created this intimacy very slowly. So it's through comedic actions, but it's also through a lot of these, like, very intense situations where they would, like, you know, in a snap judgment moment, do something that communicated that they were starting to fall for each other. So I think it's very different than, say, like, in a lot of, like, Western media, love is portrayed very, like, physically. It's like people are bonded after there's a kiss or there's, like, sex. But for them, like, I think they actually didn't kiss that many times throughout the entire drama. And before even the first kiss, you already, as a viewer, like, could tell they were in love. And so, like, I think that kept me because it was like, wow, it was, like, really good, like, character development and storytelling. And it almost started, like, making you fall in love with their love as a viewer. Like, you felt really involved.
Wow, that's a very, very good observation, Janet.
Yeah, because I mean,
you're so right.
Yeah, because I don't watch, like, I'm coming in very fresh eyes. Like, I don't really know kind of, like, Korean or even a lot of, like, kind of general, like, Asian cinema. I knew logically that people say they're not very as, like, physical, but I was like, wow, why do I feel they haven't even, like, been physical, but I can like, they're so in love, and you can tell that.
Really quickly, it just reminds me of the scene where he buys her shampoo and conditioner.
Oh, like, yeah. And the candles, but not the scented candles.
No, you're right. Like, these subtle, I guess, scenes really did build up the love, because I did fall in love with them as... Because usually when you watch your dramas or, like, your shows, you're like, I wish I was dating him. But you're like, no, I want you two to be together. I think it's because they did such a good job of building that out.
Yeah.
How about you, Helen? What got you hooked on the drama?
I think there were two things. So, like, one, the character development was super good. Yeah. And I think especially for Yoon Seri, which is the main character. I liked how she started off as, like, a businesswoman and someone who's very independent and not needing to rely on her family. And how she became somewhat, like, helpless and stripped of her heiress title when she was in North Korea. But she was still very, like, determined and headstrong and independent when she was there. There's a part of me that kind of could see myself in her. Not the rich part, obviously. Maybe the poor, like, helpless and stubborn part. But I could also see myself getting into a lot of shitty situations. So I'm like, oh yeah, I relate to this character, like, very, very much, you know? And I think that the moment that actually got me hooked was at the end of episode one, when she kind of, like, crash landed into the forest in the DMZ area in North Korea, which was Captain Ri's, like, patrolling area. And I think this is something very unique, and tell me if I'm wrong, Mel, because you watch a lot more K-dramas, but at the end of each episode of Crash Landing, they'll replay a scene from earlier in the episode to give either more detail of that scene or to give another character's perspective of that scene. So at the end of episode one, when they show the scene of her, like, hanging in the tree and trying to reach someone on her walkie-talkie, the camera kind of, like, pans over to him, to Captain Ri, and just, like, that long gaze that he gave her, it was, like, maybe a two-second gaze before he, like, pulled his gun out of her, but you could tell that he really liked her just from that one subtle look. And I was like, oh, shit, this is how it starts. And that's when I got, like, all weird and giggly. But, like, I think that's like, the first time I was like, ooh, yeah. Like, the subtle moments to build up on their love.
Yeah.
Exactly what you were saying, Janet. This is, like, one of those moments. And I completely bought into the moment when I saw just the gaze that he gave her.
Yeah.
Like, oh, So loving.
Dude, I'm like literally going to go back and look at that gaze now because I kind of don't remember that part. It's a good part though.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah, that one got me.
And I think with Crash Landing, like you asked if this is something they do a lot in Korean dramas. They actually don't do that a lot. They usually just like end it with credits and like a preview of the next episode. They don't go back to like a previous scene. So I think Crash Landing did a really good job of making really kind of like a thoughtful, cute moment, because I think Marvel does like, oh, like here's a suspense, like a kind of surprise. But I think Crash Landing did it more like a, oh, here's a sweet moment, a little things to get you really hooked on the relationship part. So that was a good.
Yeah. Or I liked how it's like, it is from another character's perspective of the same scene. Yeah, so it's like, how did this character also feel during this time? So they did a really good job with character development, and maybe even like the end scenes kind of plays a role into that too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I did notice that when they would replay the scenes in the beginning at the end, sometimes it would be from a different person's perspective, so you would get more information from that scene. So instead of like, because I wanted to fast forward, I'm like, oh, I've already seen this, but I noticed that sometimes they would show you something extra. So I was like, oh shit, I don't want to miss anything.
Right.
Yeah. It's funny because now we're talking about it, because it's been a few, like, I mean, 2 months for me since I watched it, but I'm like, damn, this is such a good drama, you know? I mean, we can't talk about Crash Landing without talking about the scenes that literally made you cry, because I cried so much in this Korean drama. So, you know, what scenes specifically made you cry and why? Jandy, you want to start us off since your memory might be fresh?
So mine probably is not what you would think. I know it's a romance story, but I actually didn't really cry very much at the parts that were focused on love. But the thing that I did notice is that they talked about family a lot. And I think this is a popular theme in a lot of kind of like, maybe, I don't know, K-drama specifically, but maybe Asian culture entertainment. And for me, specifically, and this was near the end, they got deeper into the story of Yoon Suri's mom. And I think that they portray her as this very kind of like cold woman throughout most of the show. And you kind of, as a viewer, you are a little ambivalent to her. And then as you kind of view her more from Yoon Suri's perspective, you actually start to kind of like see her as a bad mother. But then they get deeper and you start to learn that it's really complicated and that she has kind of her own suffering that she goes through. And I was like really moved by that. And I think that something about that mother-daughter relationship and also just like understanding the suffering of a woman, like that was like really moving for me. And also like it wasn't just between Yoon Suri and her mom, but even, I don't know, I'm not going to pronounce his name right, Ri Jung Hyuk?
Yeah.
Captain Ri. So when his mom was standing up for her son in front of like between the parents and almost like, you know, the hysterical joy that she felt when she like saw him was like so moving. And the fact that she was ready to like poison herself to think that they might like, you know, come back and that he wouldn't be okay. And also Dan, the Captain Ri's like previous fiance, even her relationship with her mom, to see that her mom, like there was that scene where Dan's like really depressed in her bedroom and her mom came in and was like, whatever you're suffering through, share it with us, we'll listen to you and we'll share that suffering with you. So those parent-child and family dynamics, those were the ones I was like, damn, this is like tearing at the heartstrings.
Yeah.
How about you ladies?
Damn, Janet goes deep. I'm just like, I got the basic scenes got me crying.
It's okay, Helen. Save here.
Well, I feel like there were so many parts where I was, I think like every episode I like could feel myself tearing up or teared up. But the parts that really got me were when every time he crossed the demarcation line. So the first time was, I think, 9 episodes in. It was pretty funny to remember this. He was like, how could I forget the woman that fell out of the sky as she's, like, crossing over? And she's like, I didn't fall. I descended. I was like, damn, girl. Okay. Didn't cry there. And then she, like, crosses the line, obviously, and she starts, like, crying. And she's like, oh, my gosh, like, thinking to herself, like, she's going to miss him. And then he does the unthinkable, which is step into enemy territory as a North Korean soldier, and says, a single step should be okay. And he pulls her in for a kiss, and I was like, oh, damn.
That part did.
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely did get like, it was like a butterflies moment. I didn't cry, but yeah, it was like a, oh, wow. Like,
yeah. He like drops his hat, and it's like, oh, so good. Oh my gosh, this might be the most like giggly we've ever been on ABJ. And then, yeah, and then I think the second time was the last episode when they had the other moment of stepping over that line. And so many emotions kind of led up to that scene. Mm-hmm. Like you were saying to Janet, like she was, Yoon Sari, she was near death and her relationship with her mom was just starting to heal. So even seeing that just relationship start to mend. And she's like, she's running towards him. He already crossed over the line and she was running to him in tears. Okay. And he like pushes off the North Korean military and steps over the line just to hold her. And then all these guns are drawn from both sides. And then she's just like, what should I do when I miss you so much? And he's like, just wait and pray desperately. And then he tells her that he loves her. Oh my gosh. It was like drama central. And I think every time I watch that scene, it's just so many different emotions on so many different levels from like the mother and the army men and them and their relationship. And the North Korean army guys were also in the scenes and tearing up. And it was just that scene got me hella bad.
Man, I'm getting so excited. How
about for you,
Helen? Helen, literally, you listed two out of my three scenes that I literally cried. Because the first scene, for sure, when you're like, when he finally crosses the border. And then, because I remember Helen started watching this before Janet, and I kept asking her, what episode are you on? What episode are you on? She's like, oh, I was like, ooh, not there. And I was waiting for you to watch this exact scene. Because then when you said, I watched this scene, I'm just like, dude, you get it. You, like, that scene just gets you, right? And it just crazy. It literally took, like, what is, like, 9 episodes in just to see that first kiss. You're, like, waiting for it, you know? So when it finally happens, just, like, and they slow-mo the background, you know, all this stuff to make it super dramatic.
And the music. So, the music is so, the soundtrack is so good.
I just, The second scene, too, I was saying the end. The end scene, for sure, I, like, was bawling. Like, I was crying. Because you know as a viewer, this is the final time they're saying goodbye. This is it. Like, because they said goodbye at the first border crossing. But this one, like, with everyone around them. And for me, like, really seeing the friends cry. Because I actually, like, for me, I realized, like, I do value friendship. So seeing them crying over their friends, like, not seeing each other anymore. It's just, like, dude, that really got me. There's a sense of desperation there. Because she's also struggling. Because she's, like, still kind of wounded. So pushing the officers off, I'm just like, oh my god, I just feel for you, you know? So obviously the other two scenes are more like, well, one's more romantic. It felt like, it's like a goodbye kind of cry. But when I was watching the kiss at the hospital after he got shot, it was beautiful. Yeah. She was like kind of crying because she was so worried about him. And I think he was a little standoffish to her at first. And then he came out and then...
Yeah.
And I remember seeing the beautiful tree lit up in the background. It was like bouquet lights and the first kiss. And then was snow falling? I wasn't sure. But that moment just made me like cry because I was like, oh, this is so beautiful, you know? And it wasn't like a lame little kiss tap or never like whatever. It was just like a nice romantic kiss. So I was kind of tearing up for that part for sure, you know?
Aww.
Yeah.
So these were kind of the more dramatic parts that moved our emotions to kind of tears. Were there any other parts that gave you kind of like butterflies?
I think at the end of every episode, there's like a moment, whether it's a kiss or a hug. And these interactions, like we've been saying, just seem so like criminal. Like it's a story of forbidden love. So everyone knows that they're attracted to each other, but they can't be together.
Mm-hmm.
But the scene, and this might be like a simple scene, but one that made me feel very like, oh, was when they saw the first snow together.
Mm.
So she says to him like, when two people catch the first snow, it means that they will fall in love and it starts snowing. And it reminds me of, because growing up in Boston, I remember that was always a romantic moment that I wanted to capture with a loved one, right? Mm. I wanted to be like kissing them and then like the first snowflake just falls between us and like lands on our lips or something. So as I was watching that, I was like, oh, like it felt so warm just to see that and kind of nostalgic too. Mm. But that was one of them. I have a couple of others, but I'm going to save it in case you ladies have the same ones. What about for you?
I want you to go all out. I can share mine real quick. Maybe we have some like similar scenes. I wrote in my notes, I wrote, again, so many scenes, but I wrote for various different reasons too. I think one that maybe all three of us could agree on is when Captain Ri was getting his soul makeover in those different suits, I was just like, oh!
I wrote that down too.
Like, because you could tell, like, his face is just like, oh, I don't know what looks good on me. And then that like, enthusiastic person was like, oh, everything looks good. You could tell Yoon said he was, like,
the salesperson.
She was like, bitch, get off my man. Like, that type of thing.
I was like, I got different kind of butterflies from that one. You know what I mean?
Girl, I feel you. It's funny because another one I wrote down was, okay, I forgot his name. It's been so long. The second main guy who was, like, a con man.
The second main guy?
Oh, I think I have
his name.
Alberto? Yeah. Gusung Jun?
Gusung?
Gusung.
Alberto.
Yeah.
There was a scene where I think he was staying at Danny's house, and then he was in a towel, like, still out of the shower, and all the, I think her mom and her uncle came in and opened the door, and he was shirtless, or, like, I think the village ladies. I was, like, pleasantly surprised how he looked in a towel. I was like, whoa. I was like, yo, I did not expect that under that turtleneck, you know? So, I felt kind of like butterflies there. For, like, it's, like, a pleasant, like...
Oh,
you were talking about those butterflies. Yeah. I thought this was, like, the romantic, like, all butterflies, but all Mel's butterflies are around the hot men.
Yeah. I mean, there's different type of feelings. The other two scenes... I think I mentioned the cry hospital kiss for sure, and the last one I wrote was, you know, the scene of they're both in Yoon Se-ri's house in Seoul, and they're both getting drunk, and he was telling her, like, right, yes, like I want to see you age. Yeah, I want to have kids with you.
Oh,
yeah.
Actually, that probably, I think I teared up during that part. That was less of a butterflies for me, more of an emotional. Damn, that's such a. I mean, if to hear a guy say that, like.
I know, shit.
It's amazing.
But also when she said, I think she said, like, but promise you'll only drink with me. And he said yes. And I was like, bitch, that's a lie. Like, don't lie to her.
That's true. That's when it was like, okay, this is now, are you actually telling the truth? Or are you just saying things she wants to hear?
That's true.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. Hello, is there any other scene that I missed that you were there on your list?
I said the candle scene.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty moving.
It's the scene where she gets lost in the markets of North Korea, and all the lights were off because they cut off the electricity at some point in the night. And she's freaking out looking for the group of women that she's with. And obviously she can't find them. And she sees this, like, hot military man holding up a candle. Obviously it's Captain Ri. And it's, like, the scented candle that she's always wanted. So obviously they have a moment. They walk up towards each other. It's like, embrace. And it's like, oh, so cute.
I like how we're just, like, kind of, like, you know, we're turning to little girl talking about this, and I love it. Jada, what are some scenes that you felt like butterflies?
Yeah, the things that stood out to me, actually, I don't know if, like, they were more, like, really, really sweet and intimate moments.
So not as perverted, like, as me and Helen.
Perverted. I mean, I found that, I mean, those were interesting, but I wouldn't necessarily say I had, like, butterflies from them. But I think the scene that stands out to me is when he proposed to her. So when they were in South Korea in her home, and it was just, I think everything about that scene where it was just the two of them, the simplicity of the rings, and how she also seemed, I remember the dynamic being, like, it wasn't like he was in control and she was just, like, surprised, as if, like, he wins all the points for, like, you know, being the dashing man in the scene. It was, he had power, and then there was a moment where she responded in a way that, where he felt he was vulnerable. So it felt like it was very much like equal part. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I think she made some comment about, like, marriage or something, where he was uncertain if she was actually bought in or not. So it was just, it was really simple, really sweet, very balanced, very intimate. And also the scene where she was in the hospital bed, and they were talking about her wounds, and he got really close to her, and he was like, oh, but I have a wound here on my nose, and then on my shirt. Yeah. And it was like a really slow, you're like, you know a kiss is coming, but it was so innocent. You know, she was like, oh, where? Let me see. And then suddenly he's like naked. But actually some of the other love scenes, like, I actually did, it kind of made me eye roll a little bit. But I think that's more me, because I'm, like, more jaded, but they were mostly the love scenes that were near the end, when it got very, very dramatic and almost, like, too fantastical.
That's true. I there's a part of me that was like, I don't know, though. I feel like there's something with these Korean dramas where it's like they do it in such a soft way. Even, like we said, like, there's a story building component to it where each moment or interaction is so subtle. But then it's like, why is it cheesy, or is it, like, real? Like, it's hard to, you know?
Yeah.
No, I get you, though. I feel you.
Skillshare is a sponsor of today's episode of Asian Boss Girl. We started ABG with little background in audio recording, professional writing, or editing. As we evolved into video content, setting up a business, and selling merch, we figured out a lot of things with the help of online resources. If you're someone who has an interest in learning a new skill or mastering an old one, Skillshare is a great resource. They offer classes designed for real life, so you can move your creative journey forward without putting life on hold.
They offer classes like building an Etsy shop that sells and presentation essentials. Or if you're interested in personal development and lifestyle skills, there's Creative Writing for All, a 10-day journaling challenge, and Modern Flowers. Explore new skills, deepen existing passions, and get lost in creativity with classes from Skillshare.
Skillshare is also incredibly affordable, especially when compared to pricey in-person classes and workshops. An annual subscription is less than $10 a month. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/ABG and get 2 free months of premium membership. That's right, Skillshare is offering Asian Boss Girl listeners 2 free months of unlimited access to thousands of classes. Head to skillshare.com/ABG.
Besides getting the right haircut, it's really important what type of shampoo and conditioner you use to maintain that fresh look. I have definitely struggled with this and spent way too long in the hair aisle looking up on the internet what product is best for my hair. Thank goodness for Function of Beauty.
Function of Beauty is the internet's top-rated customized hair care brand. They formulate every bottle based on our unique hair types and hair goals. They gather your information through a quiz, and you can customize with a fragrance and color. You can even name your bottles, which we had a lot of fun with. It makes my hair washing experience much more pleasant.
Function of Beauty is also vegan, cruelty-free. They never use sulfites, parabens, phthalates, mineral oils, or any other harmful ingredients. They are offering our listeners a savings of 20% on your first purchase. Go to functionofbeauty.com/ABG to take your 4-part hair profile quiz and save 20% on your first order. Don't spend another minute in hair misery. Go to functionofbeauty.com/ABG to let them know that we sent you. That's functionofbeauty.com/ABG.
Well, a lot of people say that these Korean dramas romanticize love and give a false sense of reality when it comes to romance. Would you agree?
I'm like on the fence with this. I think I consume so much Korean drama. So I put yes and no. I feel like I know these type of scenes that we mentioned, like, oh, like the scene like Jenna just mentioned about like, oh, like I have a bruise on my nose. Like, dude, I'm pretty sure no guy I'm going to date is going to do that. Like, I really doubt he would choose to do that. So I don't think those type of scenes will actually happen. But I do think the feelings of butterflies that you get when watching these scenes can be present, though. Like, those giddy moments. I feel in a lot of relationships, there are still those giddy moments, which is, you know, the honeymoon phase. But I will admit that my standards may kind of be going up when I do watch, like, these dramas. Because I'm like, dude, these guys are so, like, I'm not like, they're so fucking hot. And I'm like, dude, wow. Like, I'm, like, I literally feel like quarantine has turned me back into that 16-year-old girl that's, like, Googling all their images, and like my wallpaper is of a Korean actor right now. So just like in some ways, I think to some degree it has affected my standards, but at the same time, like those actions of what the Korean guys do in the dramas, I don't think it's actually going to be reality, but the feelings you get I think are going to be there. Yeah, how about you, Jay?
That's a really good point. Yeah, no, I didn't really think about it that way. I don't know that they romanticize love, but I do think that they gave a false sense of how dramatic love should be. And I think in Asian culture, there's this big sense that like love is suffering, right? And I think that that was like really heavily portrayed in the drama, like especially as you got near the end of the series, there were a lot of these kind of more stereotypical, like too obviously emotional, too dramatic. And I was actually thinking near the end of the last couple episodes, I was like, damn, how were the auditions for this show? Like, could you imagine being an actor and actress? I'm like, it must have been so emotionally draining to even shoot one episode because they were just like constantly crying or scared or like red in the face, you know? And also I think near the end, they tie all these very dramatic sweeps of death that kind of tie, like, I think once again, hyping up how dramatic love should be. It's like she had a brush with death how many times, and like so many scenes where there was that like intense cry of relief from either him or her because one or the other person was actually safe and alive. Yeah, I don't know that it romanticizes it, but I think that it definitely made it like over dramatized. I also felt like this was something I didn't think about during the show, but like as we were kind of like outlining for the episode, this love story about like what were we saying like that it was like forbidden love, right? It is actually very much similar to that structure of Romeo and Juliet, where it's like, you know, the Montagues and the Capulets, like they came from two different families, and because of their familial background, they're like forbidden to be together. But there's all these like brushes with death and you know, all that kind of stuff. So I was like, oh, maybe there is something about that storyline that just works across all different cultures as a way to that people like to kind of like show how love is so much about suffering and drama. I don't know.
I mean, they call it K-dramas.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not K-real life.
Yeah. Would I watch that?
Yeah, how about you, Helen? Do you feel like it romanticized love or...
I mean, I think there are qualities of Captain Rhee that I found super romantic. Like, he has a broad shoulders, him stepping over the demarcation line to be with her multiple times, and, like, the moments of when he's stocking her kitchen full of food, and, like, obviously risking his life for her multiple times. But I think the realistic part of me while watching this was, like, I don't think I could be with a guy that's so emotionally reserved. Because there are some times when I felt like she was talking to a wall. Like, he had this, like, kind of, like, face on him throughout the series. So, yeah, there were definitely moments when Philip was sitting on the couch and watching with me at the same time that I just look at him and be like, well, like, why aren't you doing that? And he'd just be like, Helen, like, this is fake, okay? This is fake and over-dramatized, like you were saying, Janet. But it does make me, like you were saying too, Mel, I think moments like this can be replicated in your life in a different way. You sort of get the same feelings. So it makes me happy about the reality of it, because obviously I don't want to be near death every day of my life. Yeah. But yeah, it does give you that sense of just like, it replicates the feeling that you want in a relationship, which is nice.
Yeah.
But all three of us, we know that that's not reality.
No. Yeah. I mean, if a Korean actor that's on my wallpaper shows up in front of my door, I mean, I'm all for that though.
What's his name? Who's the person on your wallpaper?
Gong Yoo from Goblin. Goblin was the drama that Crash Landing overtake in terms of rating. So before Crash Landing on that channel, Goblin was the number one, which I just rewatched, but he's so hot. Do you ladies have any more overall comments, you know, thoughts on the drama? I'm pretty sure, like, for you two, it's one of the first Korean dramas you guys watched, right?
Yeah. So for the North Korean parts, I actually realized between the three different settings of North Korea, Switzerland, and South Korea, the North Korean parts were my favorite. And I think that it's maybe because, like, the lavishness and the urban living of South Korea, like, that is still pretty common that you see that in a lot of different forms of entertainment. And even Switzerland, like, the beautiful natural settings, like, that is also depicted pretty often. But the simple farm living and also the very different, like, socio-political setting of North Korea, just in general, like, it's not shown a lot. I thought that I liked the way that they captured that and be able to kind of get a peek into that world.
Yeah, no, I agree. I really liked seeing the North Korean parts, too, because it just felt so real. Like, even her stumbling into the village and having all the lights shut off, Or when she's taking a shower in the tub and she has to put plastic sheets over her tub just to contain, like, the steam to have a hot shower. Or, like, storing kimchi underground because there's no electricity half the time. It's like a glimpse into this world that has always been dark in our minds, and even on, like, Google Maps has been dark. So I read somewhere that in order to make this drama as real as possible, the team actually conducted detailed interviews with North Korean defectors, ranging from soldiers to wives of military officers, merchants, doctors, pianists. And they said it's about, like, 60 to 70% accurate, which is pretty cool to know that. They said, like, the tub thing is, like, a really real thing. That's something that they always did. But I think a lot of people are also saying that it glamorized the soldiers too much because men in North Korea, they enter the military when they're 17 and they serve for, like, 10 to 13 years. And during that time, they're taught to be pretty ruthless and harsh, and they rob homes and rape women at night. But I think there's also, like, hope that this series does get over to North Korea so that they can see how positively South Koreans actually think of them and see them. And maybe even something could change because of this series. So I thought that was an interesting thing to think about, because media does drive sort of perception and change, right?
I actually agree with you both. Like, one of my favorite parts was, like, seeing the North Korean parts. And, when I found out they had, consultants from, like, North Korean defectors or consultants, I thought that was really interesting. And I think I read online that they shot those parts actually in Mongolia because they couldn't, obviously, they can't shoot in North Korea. And I think overall, I also really enjoyed having Yoon Se-ri as a very strong female character. I think Helen touched on really good traits that she had, because, you know, I watched Korean dramas for, I don't know, like maybe 10 years now. And I think you always see the story of this woman who is struggling. She's poor. She's trying to make money, all this stuff. She's going through a lot, but you don't see her coming from like an heiress. Like, it's always like the heir, you know, it's a dude. But having a female be that character was really refreshing. And I think overall, you know, after Crash Landing, I started watching other Korean dramas. But no Korean drama has really built the relationship Crash Landing has built with the two main leads. Like, I felt like I appreciated so much more now looking back at Crash. Like, they did such a good job. The writers and the actors and actresses did a good job of making you really fall in love with them, with them as a couple, that you're rooting for them as a pair versus just one or the other. So yeah, the character development there was like really, really great. And you just see the progression of Korean dramas has gotten so much better. The filming is beautiful. Like the Switzerland scenes, oh my gosh. Like, I have a girlfriend who lives literally in Switzerland. She watched Crash Landing and they went to the area that they shot at. And I was like, oh my God, are you freaking kidding me?
Oh man.
Yeah. And then
you got to make a trip out
there. No, seriously. I think it's on my list now. So yeah, like overall, I would say it was probably one of the most solid dramas I've seen in a very long time. And I think, Janet, you mentioned it too, like, I really appreciate seeing an older couple. I think a lot of the Korean dramas now kind of are, like, more younger, and I kind of feel like I can't relate to it as much anymore. So seeing an older couple is really refreshing and nice.
How old are they?
37, 38.
Oh, wow. They, honestly, their skin is so good that they look, I didn't even think of them as an older couple, actually. Mm. Like, that didn't register in my mind.
Yeah. I think because I see other dramas, but, like, it's very apparent that the couples are young, so I don't want to say these couples are old, but it's, like, comparing both, it's like their age is a little bit older than the 22-year-olds, you know?
Yeah, I see. In Korean dramas, do the men always have broad shoulders, the protagonist?
Not always.
Okay, just wondering. No. Are they always this good looking?
No. Dude, it's kind of crazy how wide his shoulders actually are, though.
I didn't notice it until you mentioned it, and then there were certain scenes where I feel like they played off of it. They actually did call out something about the width of his shoulders. I forgot which character they had that did that, but I was like, oh, I guess I'd... Yeah, his body is like, doesn't look normal.
I like how when like Janet makes like, I thought she's gonna be like, and his body is amazing. She's like, it's not normal.
I
was like, what?
I actually did have some thoughts now that you guys were talking about like the lead character or like seeing kind of a strong female character. The only other kind of like K-drama that or Korean kind of like entertainment that I have seen is My Sassy Girl. And that was years ago, a long time ago. Yeah. But I did notice something. I feel like K-dramas tend to portray women in a way where they're both very shrewd and commanding, but also very feminine, soft, and almost like helpless. And almost never are they this in the same scene. Like they're either one or the other. And so it's kind of strange that it's like two dynamics and they play both of these roles. And I'm wondering, is it because it's in a culture that kind of elevates men and sometimes kind of suppresses the power of women, that in dramas and entertainment, it's a way for them to kind of like, if they know that women are going to be watching these, it's like for them to live vicariously through this character who can like be the soft and feminine person, but also be really strong and commanding.
I didn't think about it.
No, I think that's a good point, that to portray them as like a multidimensional character and not just someone who's like either super strong or just always helpless.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that something that you've seen, Mel, in the K-dramas that you've watched?
I think it's been changing a lot. I feel like I just got back on the K-drama hype, like, probably more recently. But I would also say this, though. Like, I think that also explains, like, a whole facet of a woman, though. Like, a woman is never fully, like, confident all the time or always helpless. I think we're a blended breed. Like, kind of like men are, too, to some degree. Like, all of us, as a human, we're very complicated people.
So K-dramas do, like, a good job, then, of portraying women, maybe
better. I think they're doing a better job now.
What I noticed here is more of like there's a difference in power dynamic, and I wonder if that's something that's always prevalent in K-dramas, like seeing the sort of like the dynamic also between them two switch when they were in North Korea. Right, like at first she's the rich heiress, and then she goes to his place, and then all of a sudden he becomes the slightly more powerful one. And then when they're back in South Korea, like she becomes the powerful one again. So there's always like a power dynamic between the two, and I wonder if that's something that's a common theme, I guess.
Yeah.
What were some parts that maybe you didn't like, or parts that you thought were like holes in the story?
This would be a big spoiler alert if I talk about it.
I mean, but... we already gave the caveat early on.
I have mixed feelings about the ending, because I feel like the ending was very disjointed from the rest of the show. Like I felt like it was a really well written drama up until the point, and then something like the last episode, I almost felt like it was like a different person that made it, and it kind of reminded me of like Sex in the City, where the movie, where it's like it almost felt like they wrapped it up in a way that kind of pleased what people wanted to hear, how they wanted it to end. But then, so I felt like it was, like, kind of too fairy tale-y. But then I thought about it, and I was like, but it also means that when you leave the series, you have a very positive takeaway and a very pleasant feeling that lingers, versus if it ended very dramatically and it was, like, just a good storytelling and, like, all of that.
I didn't think about that, but I would kind of agree with you there. I think there's a part of me that kept thinking they've both been in Switzerland before. So I don't know if it was ever explained throughout the series of why they couldn't just meet up there again. That's one thing that I was just like, huh? Yeah. Is it because if he's in the army, there are only certain times that he can leave? Or what's the reasoning for not just, you know, meeting in a neutral place?
Yeah.
Huh, yeah.
Mel's like, oh my gosh, let's not talk about this. This is like the perfect series drama.
Actually, okay, I will say this. Now you bring it up. I personally thought the ending was perfect. But I will say the parts that did make me cringe throughout the series was I thought the forcing parts of, like, I guess these parts were needed to have that ending part, the ending closure. But I felt like them being so like, oh, we actually were, since we're in the same time, you're the one that took my photo on the bridge. I was just like, that was a little too forced. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think them ending up at a place where it's neutral, that made sense to me, you know?
Right.
But I think it was too forced of the Switzerland, like, storyline
coming together, yeah, the weaving, perfectly.
Like,
yeah,
even the part of like when Danny realized like he remembered this girl, like he took a photo of this girl, you know, on the bridge and all this shit, and I was like, well, if you remember this girl from your photo, you should have recognized her when she crash landed on you, you know what I mean, like, technically. So I felt like that part was kind of but that was the only thing I was like, okay,
yeah, I think I felt that way too. When I was watching with Philip, he was like, okay, you know, like, eye roll. Yeah. So yeah, he definitely got that feeling too. But I think the other parts were that when they kept coming back together and getting separated again, I think at one point, probably towards the end of the series, I was like, okay, this is getting kind of repetitive. It's like the same thing happening over and over again. And sure, each time it's like, oh, you got me, but it's like, oh, but you just got me last, like, episode. why is this continuously happening?
Yeah.
You know, and when is it actually gonna kind of like end?
Yeah.
That, and then I think the last thing that I was like not happy about is just how Don or Donnie's story played out.
Oh yeah. That's a good point.
I feel like she didn't do anything bad to be painted as such a villain, or for us to want her to go through so much shit, right? Like losing out on Captain Ree because he loved another woman, and then losing another man that she fell in love with at the end. I was just like, why are you doing this to her? This makes me sad.
That's true. I did think about, I was like, okay, the main couple is like so well played out, but then the other side romance stories, I feel like, yeah, that couple got screwed. And like even the way that, how do you say his name? Gu Sung Jun?
Alberto.
Yeah. Even the way that he died, like his character is made to be kind of like not likable, but I was like, he died in such a rude way. Like she was just like, you know, or he basically was like just wanting to know, basically, do you love me? And she gives him the answer he wants to hear, and then he just dies on her. I was like, what?
Yeah. That's a good point. I actually felt like, I mean, maybe because I'm a fairy tale like person in the end, but I would love if they were just able to keep them alive and they both maybe stayed in North Korea or something like that.
Yeah.
You know? I would prefer that ending for that couple.
Same. But other than that, perfect.
Yeah. Perfect. I know some people mentioned to me how they had issues with the villain. I didn't mind the villain. They're like kind of, they're saying like, why is he doing that stuff? I was like, well, to be honest, it's because he's corrupt and likes money, right?
Yeah.
In the end.
He was a very good actor. I thought he played his role so well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even his death scene, I was like, dramatic, but damn. Yeah. Like, you're killing it.
You know what's interesting? So when I first saw him on screen, I'm like, oh, really? And then as he started acting, I was like, oh, shit, yeah. I think I may be wrong, but he's actually a musical theater actor. So he came from like theater.
Oh.
And I was watching their behind the scenes. He's actually really funny on set. And I was like, wow.
Yeah, I was watching those.
I was like, imagine if you're like known as comedic dude, but you like turn it on when the cameras are rolling to this like insane villain. You're like, oh shit. Like, how do you do that?
Yeah. Even like Donnie, right? Like, I feel like she didn't smile at all throughout the whole series. But then when you're watching the behind the scenes stuff, she's like always laughing and always like joking. I was like, oh, wow. Very good actors, very good characters.
Yeah.
So obviously we want to plan a trip to Switzerland. But is there anything while you were watching the series that you're like, oh my gosh, I really want to try this?
The fried chicken.
The fried chicken, right? Fried chicken. And also soju in clams. Is that a thing?
Oh yeah.
That looks so good.
I think it is. I feel like I've seen something about that seems very like familiar that I've heard. Yeah. Like,
I really want to try that. That looks so good.
Actually, I kind of wanted to try her tub, to be honest.
I could see like Mel trapping herself in with a plastic bag and she can't get out of it. And then it's like way too hot and she's just like, help, get me out of here.
You know what's one thing we actually haven't gone together with that I always see in Korean dramas is the jinjinbangs, like the spas.
Oh yeah, I do want to check one of those out, because it's like you go and you can have like meals in there, right?
Yeah. We should go.
You want to go to a, a get naked spot?
Oh, no. I don't want to get naked. Go to like the clay areas, you know, where our clothes are on.
Ooh.
But did you know that the barbecue chicken place that they always promo is actually, they have places in LA that we could order from.
Oh, it's like an actual place?
Yeah, it's a chain.
What?
Oh. Noted.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Let's do that and then go get soju in clams.
I'm down.
Ooh. In a spa.
Ooh. As women who have navigated the various life transitions of our 20s and 30s, whether they be related to career, relationships, or identity, we have found that talk therapy is a proactive way to manage our mental well-being. ABG is partnering with BetterHelp, an online counseling service available to our listeners worldwide.
They assess your needs and match you with a licensed professional therapist with whom you can communicate through messaging, phone calls, or video sessions. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. Throughout these past few strange and challenging months of quarantine, I've been attending weekly video sessions with my therapist and have found it to be tremendously helpful.
It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. Visit betterhelp.com/ABG10, that's Better, H-E-L-P, and join over 800,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. They have a special offer just for ABG listeners where you can get 10% off your first month. Try it out at betterhelp.com/ABG10.
I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time. Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
All right, so to wrap up this episode, we thought it'd be fun to ask like a fun question, you know? So who would you want as your male co-star if you're in a Korean drama? I know Janet's answer. Just looking at her face.
I have an old crush on an old school actor, Daniel Henney. So, and he's like pretty much the only one that I know. So,
wait, how'd you hear about Daniel Henney?
Dude, I think it actually was all the way back in high school. Like probably from like a couple of friends. Yeah, but I'm not really sure. And then with the onset of like Instagram, because I got access to, I follow his profile and he's a really cute dog and he always posts about him and his dog. Sometimes his mom. Not a stalker, not creepy at all. What about you, ladies?
Okay, obviously you can't cast Phil. Duh. Who would you?
I don't watch enough K-dramas to know who would be. So I would say Hyunbin, I guess, would be. But like someone like him, but with a little bit more like personality.
You didn't think the guy from Itaewon Class is hot?
In Itaewon Class, I think his
hairstyle
just like really threw me off. So I can't see anything other than that hairstyle, which is like flat, like it's like a mushroom cut, like flat up against his head.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, but I don't know. I mean, Godfrey Grau, rest in peace. I would say someone that, yeah, someone like him.
Yeah, he was really hot.
Yeah. How about for you, Mel?
Oh man, I have a list going. I think I narrowed it down to two people. I actually would choose Park Seo Joon as one for sure because I actually watch most of his dramas. He actually is super playful as a character in a lot of his other Korean dramas besides Itaewon Class and Minus That Mushroom Hair. Fucking it. His body. Woohoo! Hello. I'm a huge fan. And one person I've been crushing on for about a few years now is Gong Yoo. He's one of, like, probably the Hyunbin level of, like star level. He was in Goblin, and I rewatched Goblin recently, and my God, I think he's just beautiful, beautiful man. And he's, like, really fun in interviews. He has more personality than Hyunbin, too. So, he has a small ass head. Like, if I were to take a photo with him, I need to be, like, 2-3 feet away from him. I'm just saying. But Gong Yoo, for sure.
That's what I thought, too. He does have a small head.
He knows that, too.
Yes.
He knows. He knows. It's one of his nicknames. That his I don't call him.
His nickname is Small Head?
Or, like, something in Korean. That's what I heard. But, yeah. So, Park Seo Joon, for sure. Also, I just want to date him in real life. He's just someone like, yeah, I date you. And Gong Yoo, if I had to choose, like, an older actor. Yeah. Mm.
You have so many hot. Options.
I'm so, like, yeah, I've been obsessed. Okay, so, I guess I have another question for you both. If you guys were, like, a lead in a Korean drama, like, you think you're the lead actress, what role would you be like, yes, I want to play this role?
Girl, I don't know these roles. I think it would probably be Yoon Sil-ri. Like something like hers, where yeah, she does have like the multidimensional mm-hmm. female character, owns her own business, becomes helpless, then ends up with the man. I don't know. Isn't that very typical?
No, but actually when you were describing why you liked her earlier in the episode, I was like, I could actually see really like the correlation with you both as a character. So I'm like, it makes sense.
How about for you, Janet?
I think it'd be fun to play like a female assassin character. But I don't know. That sounds like it'd be very physical though, so I don't know.
You know what's gonna happen in that story? You're a female assassin, but your person you're supposed to assassinate, you end up falling in love with him.
Yeah.
That's the drama right there. Dude.
Okay, should we expand on our YouTube series and start doing, like, an ABG K-drama that Mel writes?
Yo, I actually have been thinking about this.
Oh. It's going to be so bad because, like, I'm sure especially with, like, an action, a film or whatever that we put out, it's going to be so bad.
Yeah, that's okay. That's the beauty of it.
Wait, Mel, what about you? What would if you had to be a female role, what would this storyline be?
That's really
what would
hard.
Mel be?
I honestly never thought about this question a lot or ever. I always thought like the leads I want to be with, but I've been watching Fight for My Way, which is another Korean drama with Park Seo-joon. I'm rewatching it, but I like the story of like the coming of age type of thing where it feels like relatable. Like these are these young people who are living together in not the most fanciest house, but they're trying to pursue their passion. And I thought that's a really cute role. It feels realistic. Mm. Yeah, that's what I would probably want my first role to be because I'm not a good actress. And so I got to do something close to reality, right? So. That's what I would choose. I know we touch on K-drama, which is a part of the Hallyu Wave, but there's other parts of it like K-pop and food that I would love to talk about in a different episode. But thank you for listening to us, you know, being all giddy, you know, reminiscing about this Korean drama we just watched.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode and fulfilling Mel's wish of talking about Crash Landing. It's been a long time coming, yeah. Trust me. Jan and I know. I know that for those of you who watched the series and loved it, many of us feel that void of finishing the series, and hopefully this episode can fill some of that void for you. This topic was a new one for us, but we know we have a lot of K-drama, K-pop fans out there that are ABG, ABB listeners, so let us know if you enjoyed it and if you'd want us to expand on this topic too.
We have some partnerships we'd love to share with you all. The links and codes can be found in our show notes, and for more partnership discounts, head to our website. You can find us on all the podcasting platforms. We are Asian Boss Girl. Follow us on Spotify, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, and leave us a rating and review. And if you'd like to support us through monthly donations, you can do so at anchor.fm/AsianBossGirl/support.
We are also very active on social. Our handle is @AsianBossGirl. So if you resonate with today's episode, screencap the podcast, tag us, and we can reshare on our IG story. Also, find us on YouTube where we have started posting some vlogs. Subscribe @AsianBossGirl. And thank you to our super talented editor, Michelle, for working all her magic on our episodes, including this one. Catch you all in the next episode.
Bye! Bye.